Well, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Again, Aaron, we thank you for sharing that part of your life with us. Next week, Katie Douglas is going to share a part of her life with us, what God has been doing in her life. You know, she was at Peru. This is 2 years she's gone to Peru now, and she's already been approved to go to Peru next year. I told her today that I'd already sent in a reference form for her application for Peruvian citizenship, and I think it's coming through. She's going to have a joint membership, a joint citizenship. Is that right, Katie? Is Katie here? Well, she might have a joint citizenship. We'll see. Oh, by the way, do you at times hear a Morse code that comes across here? Doot, 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 doot. I just found out today what that is. It's a stinking cell phone. I love your cell phones, but I just about soon you keep them at home. If you're so important, you got to have a cell phone here. Boy, please, just sit out in the lobby out there and talk to everybody you want. But here's what happens. When that cell phone comes to life, it goes to a tower out here. And when it goes to the tower, it says to the tower, "I'm alive. Are you out there?" The tower sends back, "Here we are. We're ready to talk. Send us a message." So what you're hearing is, doot, 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 doot. That goes, the cell phone goes out. That wakes the cell phone up. The tower responds with a doot, 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 and we get to hear it. Would you please turn your cell phone off or leave them in the car? If you've got voicemail, which I imagine you do, that call will be there when you get out of church. Praise the Lord. I don't say that for anybody particular's benefit, but it does come across here, and that's what we're hearing. There's nothing like hearing God answer in Morse code when we're in prayer. Dennis prayed this morning, and wow, I thought, man, Dennis gets answers to prayer pretty quick. I hope he can understand what it said, because I didn't get it. All right, Acts chapter 16. I'll bet that's true. For those of you who wear, we have a hearing, what do you call it, hearing improvement that you can get here right from Gene, and you just take it here, and it will plug directly what comes from this microphone right into you, so it'll help you hear. Just imagine what that sounded like this morning. Yeah, that Morse code came right through there. You can always tell who's got the hearing aids when it does like that. Whenever I shout, they're the ones that go like this. Whew, okay? They just look like popcorn. Acts chapter 16, we have now seen that Paul and Barnabas had been to Jerusalem. They had brought to Jerusalem a desire to have a situation settled. Do Christians have to become Jews before they can be Christians? Do they have to go back, go through the law, go through circumcision, get in the covenant before they can be a Christian? And we saw that the church council in Jerusalem said, "We believe God says no. You do not have to do that. If we couldn't keep the law who were in it, then there's no point in putting that burden on the Gentiles again." And they said there were three things, if you would, or four things, I'm sorry, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 29. Here is one reading of it. Here's what they said: "We'll put no greater burden on you than this, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well." That's what the solution had been. Paul and Barnabas then headed right back to Antioch. They enjoyed their time there in Antioch, and they decided what they wanted to do was go back now and visit all the churches they'd been at before and encourage those churches. But they couldn't agree on who was supposed to go with them. And they got into a conflict, and we studied that one other night. They got into a conflict there with one another over who gets to go. Barnabas wanted his nephew, John Mark, to go with him, the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. But Paul did not want him to go because the young man had not finished the journey with him to start with. He hadn't gone very far with him and quit early. And Paul did not want that. It was such a sharp conflict that Paul and Barnabas had to split up from each other and then went two different directions. They're both going from Antioch. Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus. They crossed the ocean back over to Cyprus again, and they started going back that way through the missionary journeys. We're not going to hear any more about Barnabas and John Mark. That's it for them. We are going to find from Paul later, he's going to ask that Mark be sent to him because Mark apparently had learned a good thing and Paul found him useful. But here, Paul has gone the other direction, if you would. Look at verse 40 of Acts chapter 15. It says, "But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So if you would, from my perspective, this is the Mediterranean Sea out here. Here is Jerusalem, and up here is Antioch. What Paul did, where Barnabas went across the sea to Cyprus, Paul went by land back up around and circled up to see all the churches they had ministered to before. He's going to go through Lystra, Derbe. He's going to make his way up through Galatia. He's going to come through Mysia. He's going to be wanting to go down through Asia to Ephesus, but he's not going to be permitted yet. He's going to have to go a different direction. He's going to go across to Macedonia, where he gets into Europe. Then he's going to come through Macedonia, back again to Ephesus. He's going to spend some time there. Then he's coming back to Antioch again. But let's look now at Acts 16, verse 1. "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted him to have him go on with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We ask just now in Jesus' precious name you'll open our hearts to this great truth, that you'll help us to see the things that you want us to see from the Scripture. We're going to thank you for it all just now, as we thank you for our brother Aaron and for his testimony this night, Father. And we ask that you'll bless him in his studies at Word of Life, that you'll use him, make of him a mighty man of God, that'll be used whether it's as a pilot or whatever vocation you have given for him, or if he's going to become a great missionary someday, Father, whatever it is, we ask that you just use him for your glory and your honor. We'll thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen. May I say, I do not think everybody has to be a preacher to glorify God. You glorify God in what you have been gifted to do, wherever that is. And I do not see, of course, I believe that pastors are the number one citizens in the world. They're more important than anyone else. But that's just a personal commitment, you understand? I can show you plenty of biblical scriptures why that's true, but it's just a personal thing with me, all right? All right. I want you to consider with me here this man, Timothy. He was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. If you would, please look over with me the life of this Timothy. This is all that we're introduced here, right here, but there are going to be two epistles that Paul's going to write to that young man. This young man's going to be called Paul's son in the faith. Paul was not married, so consequently he didn't have any children. But here was a young man that he took such a liking to, and such a discipleship with, he called him my own son in the faith. I want you to look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1 just for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In here, Paul is going to begin to describe something of a rather personal nature to Timothy. Paul reveals his heart in many different places, but I want you to look with me, please, as he writes this letter to Timothy in verse 3 of chapter 1. "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." You know, it's a powerful relationship. I have been at Edgemont Bible Church 25 years, and I can remember the number of times that we've had to say goodbye, and I never liked them. I can remember the first group of people that we had here when we were beginning to grow, and there were a number of Air Force people that came here. I was not very familiar with Air Force patterns of life, nor the way that the Air Force has become a vagabond, a pilgrim. They move around a lot, is what I mean. I don't mean that they are vagabonds, that's not what I mean. I just mean they move a lot. Nomads, that's good, I like that. Nomads, they are nomads. Well, at any rate, we did not understand how quickly they're going to move. And we had our hearts just stuck on a whole bunch of folk that were here. And that ill-fated May came, and they started bleeding us from May right through July. And it just hurt. As one by one, we had to see them leave, hearing them say, "We've loved to hear, we're going to take Awana with us where we go." I remember one family went to Crete and took Awana with them to Crete. That was the first Awana that was in Crete. They took it directly from here, getting supplies and materials from us. We'd send this stuff over there. Went to Crete and started an Awana right there. What a wonderful deal that was. But boy, I can remember how we just cried. Got to where I just didn't want to see, if they came and said, "You know, we're getting our papers," I didn't want to hear anything that had something to do with PCS or whatever that. I didn't want to hear those initials. I wish they'd quit talking in initials. Just say. It's a strange group, isn't it? Talking initials all the time. You ought to sit at breakfast sometime with me. Doug White will come in, and he will talk in some sort of abbreviated terms in some way. And Daryl Drum will sit there and listen to him and respond with abbreviations and initials. And George and I just sit there, and I think, you know, that's it. George, what about that PXW on that 935? What do you feel about that one, buddy? And just let them take that for a little while. Let them figure out what we're talking about. My point is this. It is a painful thing when you have to leave a brother or sister. It hurts. When you have ministered with somebody that you have loved dearly, it hurts. It hurts when they die. It hurts when they are transferred. It's a sting because they're important to you. This man loved Timothy so much. He said, "I pray for you night and day. And my heart thinks of you all the time. And when I remember seeing you on the night that I had to leave, and seeing you in tears, I'm leaving you there at Ephesus, I'm having you be the pastor of that church, and I'm leaving you there, I'm wanting you to take care of it." Another time he left him in Crete. "I want you to take care of things," or left Titus there in Crete, had the same feeling with Titus. But he was even closer with Timothy. "I've left you there to take care of things. Keep the church in order. Keep the elders straight. Keep everybody moving in the right direction. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach." He remembered the tears. He remembered the hurt. Now, if you would, go on with me and let's see what he says. In verse 4 again, "Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you," now watch this, "which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice," or Eunice, I think it probably is more, but Eunice is fine, "and I'm persuaded is in you also." A faith that existed in grandmother, then in mother, and then in him. How was that faith passed on? If you would, consider 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Once again, he's going to remind this young man to stir up the gift of God that's in you. He's going to remind him, "Timothy, don't get involved with the things of this world. Just keep moving. Keep moving in the direction you know God's called us to move. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word. Be ready all the time." But chapter 3, I want you to see in verse 14. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." This tells me something about Lois and Eunice. That Lois and Eunice shared the word of God with Timothy when he was a boy. Matter of fact, the word for childhood here takes it even younger than that. There are several words in Greek that deal with childhood. One of those words is paideon. Paideon has to do with, we use the word pedagogy, as we talk about children who are being taught and trained. But there's another one, technon, that's even so non-specific, it's neuter. It doesn't talk about whether you are male or female. It's just neuter. And oddly enough, one of the words he used to describe what was going on here was that one. That means that from childhood means that before he was able to read himself, Mom, Eunice, and Lois were reading to him the Word of God. He knew the Word of God from childhood. And from childhood, he was building a faith. He said that the scriptures that you've had are able to make you wise unto salvation. I don't make apologies for Awana at all. We're joyful in Awana, because in Awana, those kids are memorizing scriptures from the time they're young, real young. And it's good for them to know the word. And may I say to you, you need to do that at home too. Keep them bathed in the word. For those scriptures are what will make them wise into salvation. That's what's going to make a difference in their life. Now, some will say, but if they study the word, is that a guarantee that they will not wander from it? No, it is not. No, it is not. There's a good chance they will wander from it. Because they're going to have to make that faith their faith one day and not yours anymore. And sometimes that's a painful separation. Did you know that? Sometimes watching your kids discover for themselves whether they really trust Jesus Christ or not is painful. Sometimes it's a lot better when they were 5 years old and you could say, you trust in Jesus today?
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
And when they're eight, you said,
uh-huh, yeah.
And when they're 12, they're going, yeah. And when they're 15, they're going, uh-huh. And when they're 17, they're saying, do I have to go to church? Sunday school too? Oh, Sunday night church? That's so boring to go on Sunday night. Can't hear. I don't understand what he's saying. He talks over our heads. It's so boring. 18, you wonder where they are. 19, 20, 21. Sometimes, when they get married and have that child, all of a sudden, the world takes on a new meaning. They just understood something that was really pretty big. Oh my goodness, I'm responsible for this one. I'm responsible for what I'm holding in my hands right here. What direction do I give them from life? And a lot of times you'll see them wind up sitting right back on the back pew again, trying to work their way back up. And that's one of the ways I know they're getting older. When they're getting older and they trust Christ more, they start moving up this direction. They do. Because you can't hear a stinking thing back there. I'm sorry. I've stood back there many times. Nobody sings back there because you'd have to sing all by yourself. You got to sing a solo. It's hard to hear back there. So people tend to pinch one another and talk and carry on in most peculiar ways. Ways they think you can't see. Can I tell you, I can see everything you do back here? When I look back there and I see people, wow, kind of a dead giveaway, isn't it? Or when I see people go, I can know that somebody did something they were not supposed to do. But I've observed this. The more faith they have, they start moving up. Now, we don't have a lot of faithful people right here or here, but they're growing. They're growing pretty soon. Maybe if I had Gene turn it off and I started going, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? There'd be more and more of you move up toward the front. For a while. And then somewhere along the way, you lost your salvation. Didn't think you could, but lost your salvation somewhere. Now where are you? Travis heads up. Yeah. Just clevering it for you there, brother. From a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. And they're wise to make you to salvation. They're wise to bring that to you. They don't necessarily do it until you're humble enough. Can I say, God's going to take you what he needs to take you through to have you finally eat with the hogs if that's what you need. You follow what I'm saying? If you have to come to the point, and God helping you, I hope you don't have to get there, but if you finally have to eat with the hogs so you can figure out, it was better for me at home. It was better for me when I was walking with the Lord. I hope you figure it out before you have to do that. There's a whole number of young men and women who've come back smelling an awful lot like hog food. Takes them a little while to get clean, but I'll tell you, there's a great Savior to clean you up. It's not about whether you're going to be dull and boring like your parents are. You may find out after a while they're not near so dull and boring as you thought. you may find out there's a whole lot about faith that at your 16 to 25 years of age, maybe you weren't as smart as you thought. Maybe you didn't have it together as good as you thought. Maybe there really was something to what they were saying. Maybe there really is something to this stuff about prayer and about witnessing and about faith and about trusting Him. Maybe there really was. Paul met Timothy as a young man in whom his mother had faith. Well spoken of. Paul's going to take that which he believes is existing in him and he's going to amplify it. Just keep enhancing it. And disciple that young man till one day Timothy is going to be the pastor at the church at Ephesus. He's going to be left alone there to deal with that. He is going to be going along on trips with Paul as Paul went from one church to another speaking the word of God. And it's not going to be long until Paul's going to say, Timothy, I want you to speak tonight. Timothy, I want you to speak tomorrow night too. You know the word of God, speak it. Paul took Timothy with him. It's called discipleship. Is there a Timothy you could take with you? Now, if you're a lady, is there a young lady you can take with you? Someone you can take along the way and show them what you know. Teach them. Give them guidance. Show them what it is to trust Christ. Show them what it is to walk with Him. We're really in need of people who will do just exactly that. Sounds like it's a big challenge. It is, but I will tell you what a great joy you're going to have. You'll build a friendship and a relationship and maybe with your own children. I've seen a number of you do that with your own children and build that kind of a relationship with them. But they need to see faith in a real context. They need to see it working. They need to see what it's really all about. Paul was going to do that. He took Timothy with him. Next week, we'll talk to you about what it was they talked about as they went on their journey, what it was they did at each of those churches, and we'll share a little more with you about that. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the word of God, for the love of God, for Timothy, and for the love that you put in Paul's heart for Timothy, and the love you put in Timothy's heart for Paul, and how the two of them, in that good relationship that you gave them, glorified the Lord Jesus Christ in everything they did. Thank you for what you're going to do in each one of us, Father. We ask that you take our lives. We see that we are in the daytime now, and now we can be about the business of working. Please help us, as Aaron showed us tonight, Father, to set right priorities, to understand that our agenda may not be nearly so important as the Lord's, and that you have a great thing that you'll do. You're an awesome God because you wind up doing in us the very thing that you gifted us to do all along. Thank you that you look inside us to have us put our whole heart and trust in you. Now thank you for what you're going to do just now in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Again, on Wednesday night, we're at 6:30. For those of you who are going to show up for Wednesday night services, we're here at 6:30. We have an adult Bible study. This week, we're going to look at our one last lesson on Islam. And then after that, we'll begin a whole new series of studies. We'll look one more time. We'll look at what's the matter of prophets and why we differ with Islam on that area of prophets and what they believe a prophet really is.